again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Calleth in a Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about the power to charge you up. So many people from life coaching, dream interpretation, prophetic words always ask me, you know, Jeremy, what do I do to get charged up? You know, I go from prayer line to prayer line, conferences to conferences, and that's great and wonderful, and it's a great thing to learn and be educated and be sort of touched, so to say, by the Lord in these conferences. But on the other hand, though, you've got to be able to maintain a lifestyle of being charged up. You know, charged up just doesn't come by someone laying hands on you and you fall out in the power of God or you feel this electricity at the moment. That's great and wonderful, but that's momentary. It's not something that will last you longevity-wise, simply because of the fact God expects us to shift and sort of realign our lives to where we're in an atmosphere of being charged up. You know, it's that place of knowing energetic people. How many of you know about so many energetic people in your life? You're surrounded by maybe, you know, people, and to where when you get in front of the midst of someone else and you say, man, they're energetic, they can talk my ears off and they can really do this and that. And it's not a basically trying to take control mentality, but it's because they're happy, they're excited, they're all pumped up and ready to tell you what's going on in their lives, and they're excited because something new is developing, something's going on in their lives, or they've either got a new job, or, you know, they're just excited people, and maybe they're just positive people. You know, those type of people are who you need to learn to hang around with. I've always told people that really who you hang around with, you become. And it's so true. Because a lot of times when you can recognize someone that's energetic and they stand out in the crowd, when I'm talking about people who are just sort of, you know, really off the wall, trying to, you know, to control and dominate the atmosphere, doing it from a low point of self-esteem issue, no, I'm dealing with people who feel as if they are energetic, they're pumped up, they're ready to go because they see life at a higher level. They see life at a higher frequency. They see life as being all things being possible for them. There's nothing too impossible for them to achieve. They're positive thinkers, they're positive speakers. They don't talk about people, they don't drain you, they don't try to always tell you all their problems, because really they've learned to master situations. And they're not perfect, no, but they've learned to look at their lives and say, you know what, this is going to be taken care of and this is how I'm going to do it. And they get a sort of a strategy on and a plan on how to do, take care of their weaknesses, know what to do in situations of all different types of situations of life. Those are the kind of people you want to be around. And if you feel surprised or shocked when someone gets around you and you're like, wow, that just makes me feel good, they're energetic, then that should say something to you. That should stand out to you and let you prophesy, let the attitude and that energy prophesy to you. In other words, when something out of the ordinary of your life comes into your sphere of influence and yet it makes an impact on you, that means that's showing you that your normal lifestyle actually is not conducive to that type of energetic level. And if that happens, that means, guess what? You've actually sort of quote-unquote deceived yourself by entertaining people who are just not energetic, people who are not positive. I always tell people this: when someone comes around you that pumps you up, charges you up, that means if it stands out to you, that means the opposite of that of what you're normally used to is letting you know this is not where you need to be. Because if something stands out to you to that degree, that means it's obviously not in your normal everyday walk of life with your family, your friends, your whatever it is you hang around with. And that should speak to you. Let it prophesy to you to say, hold on a minute, this should not be a surprise to me, but it is a wake-up call to me to remind me that I need to be around people like that. I need to be around people that are charging me up, making me empowered. And once again, make sure you come from the standpoint of you not draining them, but you're feeling empowered yourself to where you get together and iron sharpens iron, and you guys get to talking about whether it's things of the Lord or whether it's things about, you know, how to start a business or whether it's things about, hey, you know, look what I've done in my job. Look what, you know, look what's happening and look what I'm able to take care of this situation that I feel like I couldn't overcome, and this is how I did it. It's that place of someone speaking action words to you. The worst thing in life you can do is hang around somebody who is wishing for things. Or even, let's put it another way, people who are just hoping for things. I sure hope the good Lord changes this in my situation soon. Man, I hope and pray God gives me money soon. I sure hope that God does this for me soon. I just really hope, and I'm praying hard. Pray hard with me that I get another job. I'm so depressed. I'm so down. And the reality of it is, if someone needs needs prayer and someone needs a new job, that's different. But you have to look at the attitude of how they're responding to you in that situation. If they're not responding to you in a way of, hey, you know what, I'd really like to have another job, and if you can't help me agree in prayer, because here's what I'm doing to help change it about my life. And so if you help me agree in prayer about this, you know, pray that I'm making the right action, the right strategy to set myself up to be able to make that change. See, that's the kind of people you want to hang around with. It's the people with the attitude that lets you know, I'm not going to just say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I'm hoping, I'm praying. Hoping and praying, folks, is just another buzzword. What God likes is someone saying, you know what, I'm going to make a change here in my life. I'm going to make a change, and I know since I'm hearing from God, I'm going to make the right decision. And so either way, it's a win-win situation for me. But I'm going to make a change, and so I need to put my hand to the plow, not look back, make something happen, make something work, get something into motion for my life. You know, it's the same procedure of you're looking for a new job, and yet you're not putting resumes out there on Monster.com. You're not putting resumes in any company. You're just sort of sitting back, oh God, hoping and praying every scripture you possibly can. I have news for you, folks. The Word of God is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, but here's the problem with that. The Word alone cannot make your life change. And many of you don't like to hear that. The Word of God cannot change your life alone. I can sit down all day long and read every verse, every scripture. I can memorize from Genesis to Revelation. But if I don't put action behind my Word, if I don't learn to sit here and say, if that happened to Jeremiah, that could happen to me. If David did that, then I can do that. If Jesus told me I can do greater works, I can do greater works. And then they start to do it. It's not the idea of just, I know he told me I can do it, so I'm just going to believe God that one day I can do it. You know, or just even say, I'm going to believe God to do it and do nothing. Then what you're doing is you're being double-minded, unstable in all your ways. You've got to come to a place in life where you say, if he said you can do it, I'm going to do it, and here's how I'm going to make it happen. See, you have to learn to charge yourself up with your most holy faith by putting action there and making something happen. You know, when you look at your life and you say, here's how I'm going to make it happen, that's a strategy. A strategy is not prayer. A strategy is not hoping. Now think about that for a moment. So your strategy is not to pray. I have news for some of you. Your strategy is not to pray. Prayer helps open the gates of heaven for God to help put things in your path. See, it's the path of the righteous that gets brighter and brighter. It didn't say the path of God gets brighter and brighter. If it said the path of God going before His saints gets brighter and brighter, then what that means is, God, I don't have to do anything. All I need to do is just pray and just say, God, here's what I need. And all of a sudden, bam, guess what? God brings it to me. But it doesn't. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter, which means if I'm righteous or right standing before the Lord, that means it's going to get bright for me. I'm the one on the path, not God. Do you see that? You know, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. And so if that's the case, and it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It doesn't say it's a light unto God's feet. God doesn't need the light. He is the light. So it doesn't say, thy word is a lamp unto God's feet and a light unto His path. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because guess what, folks? It's all about the path. You know, like the secular song says, it's all about the beat. That's the true thing. Because of the fact, it's all about your path, folks. It's all about your path. And your path, you can determine if it's going to get brighter and brighter. Because think about it. It is your path. It's not even God's path. It says the path of the righteous. So the path belongs to the righteous. Hello. The path belongs to the righteous, not God. Even though we know God owns everything, we get that. We totally understand that. But if He says the path of the righteous, that means the righteous own that path. And if you're on that path, that means as you are on that path. Now, here's the difference. Are you own it as an O-N or are you owning it as an O-W-N? Are you owning the path that you're on or are you just on the path? Because according to Esther, when Esther began to, you know, eat the leftovers in the field that Boaz threw for her, and then after a while they noticed her and told his servants to leave the best of the leftovers in the field for Esther, and then all of a sudden, Excuse me, Ruth, my fault, Ruth. And then you notice that Ruth began to eat the leftovers, and then the servants began to give her the best of leftovers. And then after that, it goes on to say that she married the owner. She married Boaz, which means first and foremost, she was recognized by what? Laboring. How she was laboring was she's going out there, she's getting the leftovers. She could have sat by the sidelines and said, God, when are you going to feed me? Dear Lord in heaven, I'm praying hard. When are you going to do something about it, Lord? But she didn't. She said, you know what? There's leftovers in that field that they've placed there. I'm going to go get them. I'm going to do something. I need to eat, so I'm going to get the leftovers. So she went to get the leftovers, and in the midst of her action, see, God doesn't see you before the action. Hello. God sees you in the midst of your action, which means in the midst of your action is where God sees you, because God sees you busy. God sees you beginning to put your hand on the plow and not look back. If your hand's not on the plow, then guess what? You're going to look back. But if you put your hand on the plow, you're not going to want to look back. Why? Because you're seeing that your path is becoming brighter and brighter. It's being illuminated by the presence and power of God. So does God's words just do it for you alone? Absolutely not. It doesn't. You have to take the word and apply it to your life and say, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make something happen today. I'm going to charge myself up today, and I'm going to make my world what it is I need to make it. Because here's the reality of it, folks. It's your path. If the path that you're on, then instead of eating the leftovers on the path that you were on because you're the righteous one, why don't you begin to own the path? When Ruth married Boaz, that means that same field that she began to eat from, that means if she married the one who owns the field, that means legally when you're in a marriage, you own what that person owns. So guess what? She doesn't have to eat leftovers in the field that now she owns. Oh, hello. She co-owns with her husband. And so guess what? Now she's become owner of the very thing that she was starving, that she began to eat her leftovers in. And so her action kept on promoting her. Her action promoted her. Your action promotes you, folks. Your action. Am I talking about works, lest any man should boast? No. I'm talking about putting action behind your faith, knowing that God has told you something, knowing that you know God wants you to do something. If you need another job, here's the reality of it, folks. If you need another job and you're making, let's say, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 an hour, whatever, and you're like, God, I need more money. I'm starving. My bills are not being paid, God. I'm getting further and further in debt. No matter how much you pray, folks, you need to make a change. And here's the reality. You don't have to pray, because God says, look, I wish above all things you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. It is, according to Deuteronomy, it is your right to prosper. It is in the covenant that you prosper. It is in the covenant of God that you prosper. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. That means He wants to outdo anything you're able to ask or think. He's a God of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He wants to cause an overflowing, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing or running over. That's the kind of God you serve. So don't ask God, can I have more? God is saying, if I am the overflow, why are you asking me something that I'm not? Ask me something that I am, and what I am is the overflow. So you don't have to waste your time asking God, God, I need more money. I'm in debt. God, I need to do this. I'm hurting, God. I'm not making that much money. Unless God specifically gives you a visitation, and unless He comes down to you and says, thus saith the Lord, I do not want you to get another job right now, because maybe A, the position I'm holding out for you, you need to hold out for on another company down the street, I'm waiting on that person to quit their job so you can take over. Or B, it's that place where God is saying, there's work to do on your job, and here's the strategy. See, God won't tell you something without giving you the strategy, and yet you're going to have to figure out the strategy, but He'll give you some pointers to know why you're still there. Because when it deals with poverty and it deals with a lack of, God will make a way of escape for you. God is the one that gives you and makes the way of escape, because He is the escape avenue, which means it's not a running from, it's a overcoming in the midst of you walking out of the situation. And through that, God will give you the strategy of why He actually would still cause you to remain in a situation where you're not making a lot of money, because without a vision, the people perish. And so, if you're trying to create a vision to say, I need more money, I'm out of here. I need to start applying for jobs, because God wants me to prosper. God wants me to be happy. He wants me to be healthy. He wants me to have a family. God wants these things for me. So don't ask God. Just begin to do it. And what you do, if you're led by the Spirit of God, let Him stop you. God will stop you. Trust me, folks. I'm telling you from experience. God will stop you when the time comes. If you're led by the Spirit, He'll stop you and say, hold on. Before you leave, You need to stay a little bit longer, and here's why you need to stay longer. God will always give you a reason to the situation of lack when you're trying to get out of the lack. God will never say, stay in the lack. I'm just going to keep in the lack. I'm going to keep you in the negative. I'm going to keep you in, you know, being a debit, not an asset, so just stay there. No, God will say, I need you to stay here for a moment until, and here's why. Here's your strategy. Why I'm doing what I'm doing. That way you can see on a higher plane or higher wavelength why there is a definition to the madness of why you're still staying there. But if that doesn't happen, folks, then you know what? Charge yourself up. Get around people who have no issue at all with saying, I've got to go. I got to move. It's time for me to begin to progress. It's time for me to begin to move on because I'm not making enough money. Or my gifts of the Spirit, they're not really flowing the way they need to flow because it seems like they're dormant. It seems like I just cannot. I'm suffocating. I can't breathe. Why? Because you need to check your surroundings. You know, there's an old saying here. We always say in the South, you know, when someone can't hear what you're saying, you know, we always say, you know, check your hearing aid, Elma, you know, as a joke, because, you know, if somebody doesn't hear you, we laugh about it because, you know, just it's funny. But the reality of it is some of you need to check your ear, you know, your hearing aid, folks. You need to see on the hearing of God to know, are you hearing God or are you hearing yourself? Because yourself will tell you, well, you know, I'm just going to pray hard. I'm going to pray hard. No, what you're saying is I'm going to be lazy. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God to do something in my life. But here, folks, is what the Word of the Lord would say to you. If you need friends, God's not going to hold you back from friends. If you need to find a job, God's not going to hold you back from a job. He said, if God said, I wish above all things you'd prosper and be in good health as you're so prosperous, there's a command there that He's really wanting for you. And so why would God go against His word of saying, I want to leave you alone, desolate, and have no friends, no way to do this and that? Because of the fact God wants His people to be happy. And they have to be happy with themselves. And folks, let's just face it. You know for a fact, you know you're not truly happy when you know that you don't have anything. No one in the right mind would be happy when they don't own anything, have anything, no friends, and they feel as if their whole life is just not in control. You know, if you're not in control of your body, you're not in control of your life, if you're not in control, and what I mean by control is having, is being an authoritative figure over who you are. I have to learn to be authority over my body and to say, you know what, I'm going to be an authority of my body. It's going to do what I tell it to do, not what it wants to do. No matter what it takes, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith to get it to where it needs to look good or whatever I'm looking for. Whatever it is I need in my life, I have to remember. And trust me, folks, I'm talking about it's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to be able to look at your life and say, but can I really do this? Can I really do this with my food? Can I do this with my body? Can I do this with my job? Can I do this with this and this? Absolutely, you can. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be hard and tough. But you know what? You've got to learn to master, take charge and command of your own life. And here's the reality of it, folks. After a while, as much as I love my life, I have to say, but my life can improve. My life can be better. And here's how it's going to do it. Here's the strategy to make this work for me. And it might take me a long time longevity-wise, but you know what? Hey, it's my life. And I have to learn to charge myself up to say, if I have to charge myself up because I'm not surrounded by people who are charging one another up, then I need to be able to realize I can't do it on my own. I need the support of other people around me who are charging me up as I charge them up, to where we charge each other together up. And here's the idea, once again, is being surrounded by people to say, and here's my plan to do it. Here's my plan of escape. If someone is in prison, in the sense of, let's say they're being tortured overseas, let's say they've been captured by the enemy. You know what they're going to do? I promise you, they'll find every possible way of escape to say, you know what? We've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here. Because it's human nature to want to get out of an unpleasant situation. There's a difference between loving yourself, coming to a place where you're happy with who you are, and just settling to be in the prison. My thing is, are you truly out of the prison, or are you still in the prison just finding some kind of joy within the prison? Because in reality, I've got to learn to look at my life and say, like Paul told Timothy, I got to stir up my own gifts. I got to charge myself. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts of God that were placed in you by the laying on of hands. He didn't say he's going to do it, just like God's not going to do it. He says, Timothy, you do it. You do it. And so when we look at our lives and we say, you know what? I've got to do this thing, but I need to be energized by people around me that are always positive thinkers, always challenging themselves. You know, it excites me when I look online for someone to say, I lost 200 pounds. And I'm like, hey, they can do it. I can do it. There's nothing in life I cannot do. If someone else has another job and I don't, and I've got a job that maybe is not making a lot of money, instead of praying, I need to say, you know what, God, this is what your word says, and here's my plan. Here's my strategy. So what do you think about my strategy, God? That way you can present the Father a seed and watch him change it, transform it to what it is that maybe needs to be tweaked about it for God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But I'm going to touch on this for a moment. Let me just change a little bit of this, right, and this to make it sound better, because I have a little bit more I want to add to that thing, because of the fact why you have plastered on your vision the perfect will of God, which means, God, according to your spirit that is leading me, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plaster this vision that I've got, this strategy, this plan to make it work, God. I'm going to plaster it with your perfect will, because since I'm led by the Spirit, I know my words will be breathing upon that vision. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is inspired, and the Holy Spirit breathed over the words and the writers that wrote it. So therefore, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. If I begin to write a book, and someone inspires me to write the book, I'm the one writing the book, folks, not them. I'm the one writing the book. They're just inspiring me to write. And what's going on is, when I look at my life, I can say, when someone inspires me with their strategy and their plan, I can say, wow, that is really awesome. And if you can do it, I know I can build a strategy of my own within my own sphere of influence with my original thumbprint on it to make it happen for me as well. I've realized in my life, folks, and this is a hard statement, so I can say this for about myself. You know, what's the old saying? You know, people say, if you're one of the ones then you're allowed to talk about it. You know what I mean? If you're not on this wavelength, then you have no right to discuss the conversation. And I totally understand and agree with that. But if it's working for you, if something is working for you, that means you are entitled to speak on that situation. If something is working for you, that means you've mastered it. If you can't master your own speech, then guess what, folks? You have no right to talk about it. Because actions speak louder than words. And if it's not working for you, then get into the advice of the zone that you know is powerful for you and be proud of that. Praise God for that. So I can speak on my level to say, I'm watching what I eat. I'm mastering that. Because you know what? I'm getting older. My metabolism is slowing down, but I'm mastering it to where it will stabilize what I tell it to do, not what my body tells it to do. And I will do whatever it takes to make that work. I will master myself to be a vegetarian because that's what I choose to do. I feel like that's what God wants for me in my personal life, and I'm going to master that. Am I going to slip up and fall? Absolutely. But if you master it long enough, then before long, your flesh gets the hint that it's tired, it's not going to fight you forever, and somebody is going to win. There's always a winner in the game, folks. It's either or every time. It's either you or it's your plan. If your plan wins, it masters over you, over the body and the flesh. If you win, then guess what? Your flesh wins and your plan failed, and your plan cannot be ushered out of your mouth to anyone else because it failed. If it failed you, then obviously it's not a good plan. And so the reality of you charging yourself up is saying, you know what? I'm charging myself up today to be and to do anything and everything that I need to do in my life. Praise God, I'm going to be able to do what my Father wants me to do. And own it, stand up for that, and realize it's your life. It's your life, folks. If you're righteous, you're on that path, let it get brighter and brighter for you. Let it kick in and get brighter and brighter for you, because you deserve it. You deserve it. You know why you deserve it? Because you're not just asking God, you're building a plan. You're building a strategy to say, God, changing my life today. Changing my life today. I'm lonely. I have no friends. Change your life today. Do something about it. When people say, well, what do I do? Folks, there are thousands of avenues in life you can do to change your life. There are thousands of other jobs out there you can do. Whatever you need to do, you can keep on and keep on and keep on. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So guess what? Faith means you can't just hear it one time and say, whoa, it's happened for me. No, it means you're going to have to master that to keep on hearing. And it's the same thing says, as ask and it shall be given. Sometimes you have to ask for a while, but then sometimes you have to say, I got to learn to seek now. And if I seek, it might take me a while to seek, but I'm going to find it once I'm looking for it and seeking it. And so you have to learn to take control of your own life to say, I got to charge myself up because my life deserves. And here's the thing. Your life, folks, deserves. Your life deserves for you to be the Lord over it, to be the master over it, to tell it what to do. Either, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, either you master life or life masters you. There's no in between. You master your life or your life masters you. And is it fighting a good fight of faith every day? Sure it is. Absolutely it is. But I've determined to charge myself up, be in the atmosphere of those who charge me up, who challenge me. I don't want to be around somebody who's just happy and pleased with where I am and happy and pleased to just be a yes person. I don't need those people around me. I want people to say, Jeremy, your books are awesome, but you can do better in this area. Hey, I want to challenge you to do this and this. Hey, can you do this? This is great. I loved your teaching, but can you do this? I have no issue with that. I love it. I totally love being challenged. I don't want somebody to say, you just need to learn to love where I'm at in my life. Well, that's not what I need. That doesn't help me out. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens me. Are you with me? Play-Doh doesn't sharpen me. Okay? Towels do not sharpen me. Iron sharpens me. And when you begin to look at your life and say, I need to be fearful of people that are charging me up. And if somebody is rubbing you the wrong way, so to say, with iron, then stick to them like glue. That's what you need. You need somebody that's going to think outside of your box to challenge you that your box will be expanded. Because nobody wants to be around people who just say, yes, you're right. You're right. No. I want to be around people who say, thank you. Charge me up. Keep on speaking to my life. I love it. And in return, I'm going to reap what I sow. I'm going to charge you up as well. And that's the attitude, folks, of humanity that we need to get back to, is charging one another up and charging ourselves up and taking control of our lives and allowing those people in our lives to charge us up to say things outside of our box. And not just agree with us on every single situation and petty us and babysit us. No, we need people to charge us up, folks. Today's a day of a change for each one of us, me included, all of us. Let's take the challenge today, folks, to charge ourselves up. And if we charge and master our own lives, then we have the authority to help other people to charge them up in their most holy faith and whatever it is they're called to do. So thank you again for listening to the broadcast today. I hope it was a blessing to you. And I want to encourage each one of you. I just released my new book, which I'm going to release another one here in a couple of weeks. My newest book that just came out last month called Entering the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal. Entering the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal. I want to encourage each and every one of you, go to our website, identitynetwork.net, and order the book. You can either order the book or order the ebook download and get it instantly. This book is a thick book. It will tell you about dreams, what to look for within dreams, how to prepare yourself for the dream manifestation, and realize that the dream realm actually is taking you into another dimension. When God speaks to you through your dreams, He's taking you to another dimension while your body sleeps. Folks, you're going to love this book. Entering the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal on identitynetwork.net, or call the office to order the book if you want to at 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast, and have a great day.